Would you join me in the spirit of prayer? Our Lord God, may those things said today that are true be engraved upon every heart, and if anything is said that is false, may it be quickly forgotten and cause no harm. In your name we very humbly pray. Amen. Our text for today comes from verses 37 and 38 of the reading from St. Luke. And Jesus was speaking, saying, "And the fact that the dead are raised, Moses himself showed in the story about the bush, where he spoke of the Lord as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." Now, the Lord is not God of the dead, but of the living. For to God, all of them are alive. I am going to share a story with you about a man who was either terribly courageous or foolish. On the east wall of a church in Burlington, Iowa, in the Fellowship Hall, there is a large bronze plaque, and above it is a picture that was taken in the late 19th or early 20th century. The location of the picture is in Beijing, China. The people in the picture are a family, a husband, a wife, and five children. They are dressed in the traditional garb of that era, with the long cloaks or coats that go almost to the ankle, those things that look real padded, they have put on their Sunday best. The man in the picture is named Qian Ying. The names of his wife and his five children have been lost to the ages, known but to God. When Qian Ying was a small child, a Sunday school department of that church in Burlington, Iowa, took it upon themselves to support a foreign mission project, and so they were given the name of Qian Ying, a young child who was going to a missionary school. At the beginning of the school year, Sunday school year, each child was given a round clay pot with a slit where coins could be put into the pot. At the end of the program year, the children would one by one bring their clay pot forward where it would be broken and the money in the pots would be counted. And as the totals rose, the children and all of the adults in the sanctuary oohed and aahed in an appropriate manner. Throughout the years, that church supported Qian Ying in his education. And when he became a young man, he decided that he wanted to become a Christian missionary to his own people. And so he became a missionary preacher, an evangelist in Beijing, China. This would have been in the late 1890s and early 1900s. And Qian Ying had built up quite a reputation. In 1904, something called the Boxer Rebellion occurred across China. The Boxer Rebellion has been largely erased from Chinese history. It is known only to the Western world. But it was an era when the Chinese rose up against the colonizers and wanted to rid themselves of all Western influence. Mobs went through the streets of Beijing, shouting death to Westerners, throw out their Western religions, and people were killed, pulled from their homes, and murdered. The mission board encouraged Qian Ying to go underground with his family, but he refused. And he was captured. And on an appointed day, he and his family were taken to the edge of Beijing, where a herder who was watching his flocks looked upon what was happening and later reported back to the mission board what had become of Qian Ying and his family. Qian Ying was asked to renounce this Western Christianity at the risk of his life and the life of his family. He refused. So to spare his wife the horror of seeing her family murdered, she was the first to be beheaded. And then Qian Ying had an opportunity to have a private moment with each of his children to bow with them in prayer as each child, from the oldest to the youngest, were beheaded. After all the family had been killed, Tian Ying was taken a few yards away from the slaughtering field, where he knelt, said his prayer, and was also beheaded. Now, was Tian Ying courageous, or was he foolish? The definition of a fool in Scripture is defined as thus in the 14th Psalm. A fool says in his heart that there is no God. They are corrupt and do abominable things. To be called a fool in the Old Testament, in the time of Jesus, was one of the worst things that a person could be called. And that brings us to our gospel lesson today. Jesus' exchange with the Sadducees. The Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. And yet it is often odd how a common enemy makes strange bedfellows. For the Sadducees and the Pharisees were joining forces against Jesus because he threatened each of those groups in their position. The Sadducees came to Jesus asking about a woman who had married seven brothers, each one childless. It was Levirate law that was found in Deuteronomy 25, in that you had a responsibility if your brother's widow did not have a family, that you needed to marry her and to produce a child in your brother's place. What the Sadducees were doing is what is common even to this day. It is done by people who are in trouble. It is done by people in power. They were creating a distraction. They gave a hypothetical. Like a magician, they were trying to distract Jesus from the core of their question. Like the Wizard of Oz, they seemed to be saying to him, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. Jesus was not going to be distracted. He was not going to fall into the trap of whose wife would the woman be when she entered, when at the time of the resurrection. He said, because this reality is not the same as the next reality. Jesus went to the very heart of the matter. There is a reality beyond this world of sight and sound in which we live and breathe and have our very being. There is a next chapter to be written, an eternal chapter. In the 1960s and 70s, C.S. Lewis wrote a series of books called The Chronicles of Narnia. They were the Harry Potter series of its day. And in the seventh and final volume, called The Last Battle, C.S. Lewis wrote about this reality beyond the current reality. If you are not familiar with the Chronicles of Narnia, a family of young children enter into a magical land, a mystical land, through the back of a closet. They come out on the other side and have all kinds of adventures, not unlike Harry Potter. But at the end of the story, in a chapter entitled Farewell to Shadowlands, C.S. Lewis wrote this. There's a main character, a Christ figure, a God figure, who is seen as a lion, the king of the beast, and his name is Aslan. There has been a great train wreck in Narnia, and Aslan appears to the children, and he says to them, there was a real railway accident. Your father and mother and all of you are, as you call it in the Shadowlands, dead, he said softly. The term is over. The holidays have begun. The dream is ended. This is the morning. And as he spoke, he no longer looked to them like a lion. But the things that began to happen after that were so great and beautiful that I cannot write them down. And for this, for us, this is the end of all the stories. And we can most truly say that they all lived happily ever after. But for them, it was only the beginning of the real story. All their life in this world and all their adventures in Narnia had only been the cover and the title page. Now, at last, they were beginning chapter one of the great story, which no one on earth has read, which goes on forever, in which every chapter is better than the one before. So I go back to the central question. Was Tian Ying courageous, or was he foolish? I believe he was courageous, and I believe that those who take Jesus seriously are also courageous. Not only because of what I read to you in Luke's gospel about how God is not the God of the dead, but of the living, and that all are alive in God, but rather as our opening sentences of today's worship service said to us. Tian Ying was courageous because he knew that in both life and in death, we belong to God. To God be the glory, both now and forevermore. Amen.